All right. So you're going to learn a lot about me today. I'm going to learn a lot about you guys today. We're going to have a lot of fun. Sounds good? Now, I can't stand up there. I'm very tall. I don't want to be taller than what I am. So y'all mind if I kick it with you guys down here, all right? All right. So I'm going to tell you one thing you probably didn't know about me. I'm tall. Cats out the bag, right? Second thing is that I play basketball. That's probably not hard to believe as well. But the third thing I'm going to tell you guys you probably don't know is that I'm very competitive, right? Ultra competitive. I'm playing basketball with the kids. I'm trying to kill the kids. I am not one of those parents that lets their kids win. Like, oh, let me let little David know. If David goes for a shot, I'm blocking the shot just to let him know. This is my house, right? And you want to know what this thing about being competitive is? That sometimes you find yourself in competition with people that don't even know they're in competition with you. Case in point, I was running. And then one time, actually, I told people yesterday about when I was in the park. One time I was running on a treadmill one day. And I'm running on a treadmill, and this person is killing it next to me. And I'm just like, all right, cool. I got, never mind you, something told me, Mike, do not let your speed go over a certain limit on this treadmill. But I looked over, and I saw this person was like on a 10. And I was on like an 8. I was like, there's no way I'm going to let this person beat me on a 10. I gotta increase it. And then he had an incline, too. I was like, I got to do it. I got to go. And then, listen, I was ready to die on that treadmill when I went to that incline and went higher and went on. I was like, oh, my God, Lord, please forgive me. And then another time, I was driving. And when I was driving, I saw a person with a car that I wanted. And they were just chilling. They was cruising. And I was like, I'm going to show them that I could drive faster than them, even though they got that car. And in the midst of me driving, trying to prove that my car was faster, I wound up missing my exit. All these people that I'm in competition with, that they don't even know that they don't even know my name. And here I am in competition with them. And one person I find myself in competition with, and they do not even know it, and it's usually very often, is my phone. And the person in my phone is Siri. The person who gives us the directions on maps and everything like that. Maybe Google Maps, whatever the case may be. And I find myself in competition with Siri on one thing is the time. Because whenever I enter in a location for a destination for my GPS and I see the time, I say, when they say, you shall arrive at 11:30. I'm like, nah, I ain't gonna arrive at 11:30. I should arrive at least, I'm like, at 11:25. So I'm in competition. Like, I'm gonna shut Siri up. I'm gonna prove Siri wrong. I'm gonna arrive there at 11:25. I got this. And I'm over here speeding, doing whatever it takes to get there, and doing just to make sure. And once I get there, I'm like, yeah, see, I knew it, 11:25. Find myself in all these competitions. But also, sometimes what I find myself in competition with Siri with is the way in which she is taking me. And one time, this competition, it actually hurt me. Because I was in a car with one of my boys. We were heading somewhere. We needed to be there. We were on a time crunch. We had to be there. And it was during like a rush hour when it was happening. And then he said, hey, bro, you know, to be on the safe side, let me enter the address so that we could just know exactly how to get there. I said, okay. But I said, bro, I know how to get there. He said, yo, just let me be sure and put the address. I said, all right, you know, I'll probably learn a new way anyways. I'm good. All right, cool. So then he enters the address and we start taking the route. And all of a sudden, the map Siri is taking us a different way that I don't remember taking. Now, I'm getting frustrated because I never took this way before. I'm going to say this again. I'm getting frustrated because I never took this way before. So after a couple minutes of the drive, I said, hey, bro, cut this off. Like, nah, we taking my way. Forget that way. I got this. My boy said, you sure? Positive. I got this. So he cuts off the GPS, but then he actually keeps the GPS in, but actually he keeps the time up so he could see. They said that we were going to arrive at this time, right? And then as we start going my way, all of a sudden, the estimated time of arrival on the GPS goes down. It starts to say, like, 1 minute. I said, see? Told you. Then we keep driving, and then all of a sudden, the time goes down another minute. I said, yeah, I told you. And then all of a sudden, while we're driving, the time begins to increase on the estimated time of arrival. I said, wait, what? Now I'm looking lost. And then all of a sudden, as we begin driving, I see why the time began to increase. Because there was an accident on the parkway and we were at standstill traffic. The GPS was taking me another way because the route that I wanted to take had an accident and it slowed us down. And how many of us, and don't look at your significant other because I'm pretty sure that they do this a lot, how many of us are always saying, nah, I got this. We're going to take my way. Now, here's the crazy part about it. A lot of us don't do that also just when it comes to driving, but a lot of us do that in life. And instead of cutting off the people that God placed in our life voice, a lot of us get even drastic enough that we cut off God's voice in our life. And so today's sermon, I titled it, Was My Way or the Highway? So everybody, say it with me, my way? Y'all don't believe that. Say my way or the highway? Or the highway? This side, say my way. This side, say my way or the highway? Or the highway? Don, can you pull that verse up for me one more time? Isaiah, please. I really feel like the man on Price is right now, Bob Parker. Right? So, I love it real quick. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Next verse. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts your thoughts. See, a lot of times what God is asking a lot of us to do is to trust him in the process. But a lot of us are trying to gain understanding when God is asking for our obedience. And the thing that hurts a lot of us is that the route that God takes us usually seems circuitous, usually seems off, usually seems long, but it's the best route for us. If you look at when he took the Israelites on a route, it said he specifically took them a different route because he knew if they take this route that they will not make it. So he took them a different route because he knew what lies ahead. And see, one of the animals that God compares himself to is the eagle, right? If you ever, usually one of the animals that I mentioned is the eagle. And when an eagle flies the highest that he could ever fly, if he sees any other animal, he knows that it has to be an eagle because the eagle can only fly that high. And when you fly that high, you can see things even further. You can see things that a pigeon can't see. You can see things that a turkey can't see. So when God says that his ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, I think we should trust his way. And see, it would be honest with ourselves today. I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions. You don't have to answer them out loud. But what I want to ask you guys is this, right? If you have any pen and paper, you can write it down in your head. You can write it down on your phone or whatever the case may be. A couple questions I'm going to ask you is this. The first question is, who's in your car? The next question is this, right? Who's driving? And the third question is, what way are you taking? Who's in the car? Who's driving? What way are you taking? Who's in the car? Who's driving? What way are you taking? Everybody bow their heads. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for bringing us in here today. Father God, that we all took our own routes to arrive as Christians, Father God, but a lot of us in this walk, we're taking our way. So Father God, we decree and declare that, Father God, that today you will show us how to take your way, Father God. Father God, may I speak strictly from the heart, only speak the words that you have called me to speak, Father God. And may you do a work in every last one of us in here, Father God. May we be iron to each other and sharpen each other. May we make each other better here today. May they say it was great to be in the presence of the Lord today, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So can I give you guys, so I'm going to say something I always say to the kids in youth group. If I don't have nothing biblical to back up what I'm about to say to you, don't believe it. Because a lot of times we say certain things and God is not backing it up. Case in point, right? The Bible, the people always said growing up, this song says, God helps those who helps themselves. I'm here to tell you, that's a lie. Yeah. Because if you can help yourself, chances are, you don't need God. And I always said, well, where is that at in the Bible? And one thing I got proved so wrong on because I grew up in the church is that you have to dress a certain way. It says God accepts us as we are when it comes. Come as you are. That's what everybody says. Come as you are. Come as you are. We're talking about appearance and everything, all the stuff like that. But someone said to me one time, I'm saying, yeah, you know, in the Bible it says come as you are. The person said, Mike, what does that say that in the Bible? I was like, oh, shoot, it doesn't say in the Bible. I'm scouring, looking for where does it say it. But anything that comes close to referencing that is talking about the spirit, not the appearance. And a lot of times we say certain things to the body, we say certain things to the people, we have nothing to back it up. It sounds good, but is it good? Is it God? So when I say take my way or the highway, I'm going to give you guys an example of someone who took his way. So look to your left and your right and say to your neighbor, are you taking his way or your way? Some of you are looking at the person you came with like, we already know what way you're taking, right? So, one of the people I love in the Bible is my man Abraham. Now, you got to really rock with me on this one, guys, because I really like to personalize some of the people in the Bible as they're my own friends. I don't think Abraham would probably have been my boy back in the day, but who knows, right? So Abraham received a promise from God. And it says it in Genesis 12 that Abraham, this is the first time it was ever mentioned, right? It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar to the God who had appeared to him. Now hear this, guys. I'm going to break something down to you. Abraham is not 30. Abraham's not 25. Abraham is not some young, spry, young man who has a six-figure salary looking like he should be the next top bachelor. Abraham is in his 80s around this time. So instead of, so Abraham should be focusing on retirement, not on rocking the boat, right? But nonetheless, here Abraham has got a promise. And guess what also is? The word says offspring. So that means that there has to be a child involved, right? So God has given him a promise. But guess what? Abraham does not have a child. Now, that's the crazy thing about it, because guess what, guys? One thing I'm going to recognize, I'll help you understand about God's way when we take his way, is understand this. When you take the highway, is the highway, the destination may not never make sense. And I'm here to tell you this, that if you could get to your dream on your own, chances are it's not the dream that God has for you. Because anything that God calls you to do is going to stretch you. It's going to require somebody to come alongside you. It's going to require people to pray. It's going to require you to be on your knees. It's going to require some crying. It's going to require you to say, you know what, I think I'm crazy. And guess what? I believe when Abraham heard this, he thought, I must be bugging. But guess what? It said it counted Abraham as faithful because he believed this. Now, guys, the first thing Abraham did was when he heard offspring, and guess what? Some time passed. The first thing that Abraham did was taking it his own way, was he took in his nephew Lot. Now, you go a couple verses before that, God said, leave everything and leave this land and go. But he brought his nephew Lot. Now, Lot's father died, and this is Abraham's nephew. Now, naturally, when the nephew father dies, as any man, you're going to want to take your nephew in like, hey, I got you. One of the main things that we deal with in the youth group is the fact that they have a fatherless homes. And a lot of times, our youth leaders come in and they display the father role to them unbeknownst to themselves. And they're not even knowing that, hey, you know what? We have to play a father role because a lot of these kids, they don't have their parents, right? So here we are. Abraham finds himself playing the father role. Then all of a sudden, he brings Lot in and he gives Lot a blessing that a son should have, right? All the things that Lot is experiencing from Abraham's blessing is because this is usually the things that a son should be experiencing. And now, let's not judge Abraham here. I mean, we should all want to be a blessing to somebody. We should all want to help somebody. But you have to understand this, that just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. And a lot of times what hurts us is our own perspective. Now recognize that we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. So a lot of times what gets us in a way of going the wrong direction in God's way, in his way, is because we're trying to help God out. I heard this quote and I love it. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And God be in heaven every day laughing at me like, Mike, come on, when are you going to get him, Mike? And a lot of us spend so much time telling God's plans, and God's like, wait, and just listen to me. And you want to know how I know this? Name a time in the Bible where you ever saw God competing with anybody over voice. If God ever spoke, it was only him speaking. So God's not going to go and say, you know what, you listen to that. He's not about to do that. He's God. So when you would pray, you're like, God, but you don't understand. You don't this. All right, amen. And then you leave. Wait, whoa. Can I talk to you for a little bit? And a lot of us, we spend so much time telling God our ways to a destination that he gave us. So Abraham did it his way in this point, and then now all of a sudden he finds himself that he had to separate from Lot. And all of a sudden God gives him the promise again. And one thing I'm going to help you guys notice is this, right? Is everybody say, look up. Everybody say, look up. A lot of things that hinder us is, where are we focusing? Where are we focusing? A lot of us, we're focusing on the rear view and not the windshield. And that's the thing that can hurt us the most in this journey. And guess what? The rear view mirrors are the smallest window, while the windshield is the biggest window in the car. Guess what? I get in accidents. I'm not proud of it, but I get in accidents, right? And what I recognize is this. If the person hits me from behind, that's their fault. But if I hit the person, that's my fault. Reason is the insurance company said you had a big behind window right in front of you. You should be able to see what's in front of you. But if you don't see it, then that's their fault. And a lot of us are so focused on our past that we can't embrace our present. Therefore, we abort our future. And I'm pretty sure Abraham was saying to himself, God, it doesn't, God, the promise doesn't make sense. So that's why in a couple of texts later, God had to let him know that, you know what? No, your wife Sarah's going to be the one to give you the seed. But Abraham takes things into his own hands again. Because now his wife takes things into his own hands. Sometimes it's the fact that not that we get the dream, but do everybody else around us get the vision that God has for us? So here Sarah is, she goes, she said, hey, you know what? I can't give you a baby. How about you take our servant Hagar and you sleep with her, right? Now, Abraham, like any man, would say, all right, sure. I'm not going to turn you down. You're going to give me this. Okay, cool. All right. And then he does what any person would do. He sleeps with his servant. Then boom, out comes Ishmael. Now, here's what I want you guys to understand. What's dangerous about taking your way is that what you could do in a moment could cost you for generations. We are still suffering from Sarah suggesting that he go sleep with Hagar. We still suffer from it. But what I noticed about every move that Abraham did doing his way, he never checked with God. He never said, well, what is God saying? Case in point, when he took Lot on, he never said, hey, God, dude, should I bring him with me? He just brought him along. When Sarah suggested it, he didn't say, hold it, honey. What did God say? He just said, okay. And usually the reason why we don't check with God is because guess what? Everything that Abraham did when he moved out of haste, it was a time period between it. Can you trust God when you can't trace him? Can you still hold on to the promise, what he said for you, even though it's taking a while to come to fruition? Can you see it through? Now, I'm not going to lie. I would not judge Abraham because, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm old. You ask me to bring a child into this world and I'm old? It doesn't make sense. But when it doesn't make sense, it makes faith. And here's what I love about it, right? Is that, listen, if you look at the Bible, Abraham's not the only person that God gave a crazy task to. God told Noah to build an ark. I'm going to say that again. God told Noah to build an ark. Now, Noah didn't live in Phillipsburg where he lived right by the Delaware River or something like that. He didn't live in Seaside Heights or nothing like that. Noah lived in an area where there was no sea around. And last time I checked, Noah was not no craftsman or carpenter or none of that. And then he had to bring all the animals in. So now you're asking Noah to be a farmer. Wow. With no job experience. And the only job I thought that Noah ever had was being a righteous man and being a drunk. And here you are asking this man to build an ark and bring the animals in? But Noah understood it because of his relationship with God. What is God asking you to build? Where is God asking you to go? He told David was anointed as king. He went right back to going and tending sheep. Now, can I tell you this also about when you take his way, you never know when you are going to arrive. David's father asked him, go bring your brother some lunch. David thought, I was bringing my brother some lunch. Lo and behold, Goliath awaited. How about this? Joseph went to go do something for his brothers. Then all of a sudden, he gets beat up and thrown into a pit. You never know. When Joseph was telling those guys about their dream, he didn't know the day that he was going to get released. We never know. The only person that literally knew a good amount of stuff was Jesus. And I'm going to be honest, guys. If you know, then chances are you don't need God. And that's what God does. I saw a movie the other day, right? And I love when a movie has a crazy storyline. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. When you find out that this person is not the real killer or whatever the case may be, like, oh wow, this is amazing. That's what God does with us. He keeps us on our toes. And he says, how much are you going to trust me? And guess what, guys? Can I tell you this? On this journey called life, when we're taking his way, a lot of us do not have God in the driver's seat. And that's the scary thing. I love my mother with all my heart. My mother's the worst person to drive with. I mean, she's terrible to be in the car with. I love her, but she is the worst. My mom complains if I'm driving too fast. Mike, slow down for the police pull you over. If I'm driving too slow, boy, hurry up. All the cars are passing you. Every time we go, she has something to say. And then one time my mom was driving up the wall so much, I said, I pulled over. I said, hey, mom, listen, you drive. You drive, mom. You got it. She said, all right, boy, go. And guess what? A lot of us, we've complained so much in our journey that God said, all right, skirt, you pull over. You take you there. You want to know what hindered the Israelites from making it to the promised land that first generation? It wasn't their resources. It wasn't even themselves. It was their perspective. It was their complaining. All they ever did was complain. Now, if that hindered the Israelites from making it to their destination, what's going to hinder you? Can you be on this journey called life when we're taking his way, the highway? Can you just sit in that car and just enjoy him? Can you just sit in his presence and just say, you know what, God, I may not know where we're going. I don't even really care where we're going as long as I have you in this car. In the first books of Luke, right, I think it was Luke 2, Mary and Joseph were in the temple. Then all of a sudden they went on a journey, right? Then they were a couple of days into their journey, and then they recognized they didn't have Jesus with them. And when they turned around to go find Jesus, it took them twice as long to go find him than it did to lose him. My question to you guys is, where do you leave Jesus at? Where did you pull over and say, Jesus, get out the car? Where did you stop and say, you know what, I'm cutting off his voice. And you know what, I could make it my own way. It's because, but I recognize that when we take our own way, we not only frustrate ourselves, but just like my friend who's in the car, when we frustrate everybody else that's around us. And it hurts the journey that we're taking with. And what I really recognize is this, and here's where this ties into everything, is a lot of us are taking our own way in our marriages. A lot of us are taking our own way in our business relationships. A lot of us taking our own way in our own relationships, our friendships. A lot of us taking our own way in church and even in our walk with God. And God is not going to compete with anybody. He's letting you know that my ways are higher than your ways, but you have to be willing to take my way. See, Isaiah 55, that whole chapter was a call to repentance. It says, it early in a couple verses later, it says, come to the Lord while he is near. While he is near. So while you have God, while you have access to God, let him in that car. Give him the will. Guys, do you know what people in the Old Testament had to do just to even experience God? They had to sacrifice lambs, goats, all this cows, chickens, all this stuff they had to sacrifice just to get right with God. All you had to do was get on your knees and say, Father, forgive me. I've been doing it my way. Father, forgive me. I don't believe in no coincidences that we had communion Sunday on the day that I'm teaching to you guys about. Take either his way or your way. Jesus died on the cross so that we can take his way. And understand this, guys. If what Abraham did cost us in a bad way, then what could you do that could help your family in a good way? We're so focused on what we leave to our kids, what we leave to our family. What are you leaving inside of your family? Can someone look at you and say, instead of saying, that's how you take care of your family financially, what they should say, that's how you provide. But can they say, that's a true man of God? I saw this movie, Overcomer, not too long ago. It's a powerful movie for Christians that I think you should see. I want to show it to our youth group. And then the man who was blind asked the man who was a believer, he said, if I asked, who are you, what would you say? I'm a basketball coach. He said, what else? He said, I'm this, I'm that. Then he said, I'm a husband, I'm a father. He said, now what if all those things, God forbid, were to go away? Who are you? He said, I'm a Christian. Then he said, how important? He said, what does that entail? He said, well, that means that you love God, you love Jesus. Then he said, well, he said, how important is that to you? He said, is it very important? Then he said, if it's so important, why took you so long to mention them? A lot of us on our list, God is not the top. Now, we could say it, because a lot of us say things. The Bible says that they say with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. So we could say certain things. We could say I'm taking his way, but are we really? Can you really trust God for your kids to go back on the right direction? Can you really trust God for your finances to turn around? Can you really trust God for your health to get better? Can you really trust God for the marriage to come? Can you really trust him? Or is every time it gets tough, you're going to kick him out the car? Now, can I reassure you about something? Because I pray that you guys would take his way after hearing this. Can I tell you something? His way is not easy. I wish I could lie to you and say, this is going to be the best way. It is going to be the best way, but it's going to be tough. But it's also going to be worth it. It's going to be scary. You're going to want to cry, but it's going to be worth it. I love the movie Black Panther, right? But if Black Panther, if the movie would have ended right after Michael B. Jordan killed Black Panther, I'd have asked for my money back. Like, you serious? The movie ends here? You crazy. I want my money back. But when I recognized the movie didn't end there, I was excited to see how the ending was going to be. And a lot of us are rolling the credits in our life, and God's like, the story's not done. We did not arrive. We did not arrive yet. And guess what? Here's what I want you guys to do. Understand this. It said he is faithful. He is faithful. Anytime you see where it says God is faithful, I'm sorry, I hate to burst your bubble. It has nothing to do with you. I'm sorry. It's speaking of his nature, which is even better than it having something to do with you. Because if his faithfulness is based on us, he don't got to be faithful because we're not faithful. It's based on his nature. He can't go against his nature. It says that God is not man that he shall lie. He cannot go against his nature. He's faithful to help you find a way out, and he's faithful to help you see it through. So, guys, can I tell you this right now? When you are taking his way, when it seems tough, when it seems hard, when it seems circuitous, when it seems like you're not going to make it, remember, you got a promise to hold on to. What is the promise that God gave you? So, I love how smart God is, but God is a comedian on a low. You know that, right? He's very funny. Like, God, how you love somebody that you really don't feel like loving right now. Like, one time I was mad at somebody. God said, now go in there and apologize. What? But I was right, God. I know. We're going there and apologize. I always ask married couples who are married at least 5 years or longer, right? If I got a chance to sit down with anybody, I'm asking you some marital advice. Now, am I married? No, but hopefully soon I will be, right? But I always ask married couples some advice, right? And then one guy said to me, right, I hear some crazy things. Now, I even asked Uber drivers some advice. Now, some people say, just shut up and listen. Or whatever the case may be, or the woman's always right. Don't try to figure them out. Like, you know, all these weird advices that the people give me. But one thing I heard a guy say, and I love this. He said, Mike, one thing I had to learn in marriage is that there's a difference from being right and being in love. And sometimes you have to sacrifice being right for the love. Yeah, you may be right, but is it pulling you out of love? How are we speaking our words? Are we demanding our way? And one thing I notice is this, right, is God says in his word, right, the promise that he says, put me in remembrance of my word. This is how funny God is. Put me in remembrance of my word. Last time I checked, God is all-knowing. So we put God in remembrance of his word. Why? Well, he knows his word. Why we need to remind you? In order to remind him, means a person must have forgotten, but he's all knowing. But reason why God says, I believe reason why God says, put this in remembrance of my word, and I love how someone once worded it, is that when we remind God of his word, technically we're really reminding ourselves. So when we say, hey God, you say you never leave me nor forsake me, we're really reminding ourselves. Because when we say it, hey God, you say I'll be the head and not the tail. He said, yeah, I know I said it, but do you believe it? Do you just hear? I know what I could do, but do you believe it? I know it says storms all over the place, but can you trust me as you take this way? So family, today, my heart's desire for everybody here is that we no longer take our way, but that we take his way, and that we have the right people in our lives to help us get back on track to his way. Can I give you something, guys, real quick, and we out of here? I was at our district conference with Pastor Randy and Pastor Davis, and I met the guy that was doing a recovery program similar to Subway Recovery, but it wasn't it. And then I said, what's some of the most powerful moments? He said, when a person admits that they're alcoholic, that they're an addict, and everything like that. And then he said that it's not that we're empowering the person, but we're actually empowering them. We're not taking away their power. We're actually empowering them because it's by them admitting that they could take the first steps. Now, guys, here's what I need you to do. I need you guys. You could do it at home. You could do it right now. You could do it in the privacy of your bathroom, whatever. I need you guys to admit to yourselves that I've been doing it my way. God, I want to do it your way. God, you said before I was born, you had a plan. One of my prayers before I step in front of you guys and in front of the youth group, I always say this all the time. God, before they were part of this youth group, they were your child. God, before they were part of this congregation, they were your child. You know what you have for them. You have a plan for them. What would you want me to say to them? so guys, can I say this to you? Is David set the best example for us who went about taking our way. Here's what David did. Just for all you guys who feel like it's too late, Pastor Mike, I messed up. I done dropped the ball way too many times. I'm going to let you know this right now. David probably sinned the most in a matter of a week that anybody could do. He lusted because he saw Bathsheba from a distance. He said, wow, she looks good. She need to come spend the night with me, right? And then all of a sudden, he fornicated. He had sex with, he had adultery. He adultery because he cheated on, he's married, right? And she was married. And also he lied because he tried to convince everybody else to plot against her husband. And then he committed murder. He may not have pulled the trigger, but let me tell you this right now, or cut the or do whatever it did, but hey, listen, let me tell you this. He was just as guilty because he set it up. Five things. And probably even more. We just don't know about it. But when someone came to David and told him all the things he did, gave him a story, David's response was, Lord, do not take your presence away from me. Now, I'm going to break this down for you. David is a king. He's a king. If this gets out, David could lose everything. He could lose everything. He could possibly be killed himself. But David's response is, hey, Father, don't take away the gifts from me. Father, don't take away your presence. Can that be our response? When we say, Lord, I want to take your way. Lord, I've been doing it my way. Don't take away your presence. The next thing he said to him was, Father, create me a new heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Can you pray that prayer for yourself? Renew in me a right spirit, Father God. I want to take your way. And also, a lot of us, we're taking God's way, but there's people in our car who aren't doing it as well. Maybe a child, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a mother, maybe a relative. I am a product of someone who prayed that their child will take God's way. All I ask is that you stand in the gap. You believe that promise. You hold on to what Proverbs said, that when you train up a child in the way that he should go, when he get older from it, he will not depart from it. You hold on to that promise. And you keep praying that that child will take God's way, that he will take the highway. Everybody stand up for me, please. One day there was this marathon event in the Olympics a while ago. It was like a couple of like maybe in the 70s. It was a marathon event, and then all the runners lined up. And when all the runners lined up, they're from all different countries. And then all of a sudden, one of the runners started the race, and then he tripped and hurt himself. He hurt himself so bad that everybody thought he should quit. Everybody thought he should hang it up, but he kept running. And then while he was in the race, it took him so long to finish that they already awarded the winning runners. Everybody already left. Only person that stayed was a reporter to watch this runner who was bleeding continue to run. And then as the runner was limping across the finish line, the reporter asked him, why didn't you quit? Look at you, you're bleeding. Nobody would have judged you had you quit. And the runner took the little bit of breath that he had left, and he said, my country didn't send me 4,000 miles to start. They sent me 4,000 miles to finish. Guys, I'm going to give you another amazing fact. We're all going to die. Nobody made it out of Earth alive. God could call this thing up at any moment. My question is, what's going to die with you? It's his promise is going to die with you. It's what he had for you going to die with you. Because I'm here to let you know this, right? That if you get what God has for you your way, it's no longer a promise, it's a settlement. I don't want you to settle for anything. I want you to get God's best. I want you to understand that God did not put you here to start a good work, but to finish a good work. Do it for everybody that's in your car. Do it for your family. Do it for yourself. Do it for future generations, because those are the ones that need it most. Everybody grab the person's hands next to you. Let's close it in prayer. Father God, there are people here today, Father, that I believe that by the sound of my voice that they've been taking their way for the longest. Father God, I'm admit I have been taking my way. And Father God, we sit in front of you broken, saying that you are the potter, we are the clay. Have your way. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way with our families. Father God, I speak to every child that went away, that taken their way, Father God, like the prodigal son, bring them back. Father God, I speak to every relative, Father God, I speak to everything in our lives, our businesses, our jobs, our careers, schooling, everything. Father God, help us to take your way. We'll trust you, Father God. We're in this car with you, Father God. Prayer for us is the steering wheel, not the spare tire, Lord. Have your way in our hearts. Protect everyone as they go, Father. May they never be the same, because we are taking the highway. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody.